new study looks at seized weapons at Connecticut public schools within an academic school year, and the findings were pretty alarming, and it certainly led officials to think more about mental health services and how much our children need that available to them in their schools. It was actually News 8 investigative reporter Jeff Dedarian who did a deep dive into this work and is here now to share some more details on what he learned and how the state should respond. Jeff, welcome to WICC. I am personally so honored to be talking to you this morning. I love your work. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. Hey, Melissa. I appreciate you having me on. I drive in from southern Rhode Island, so I listen to the show every morning. So
oh,
I'm a big fan, and you do a great job as well. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Well, Jeff, let's talk about, first of all, what made you want to do a deep dive into seized weapons in schools? Because some of the information you revealed to your viewers last week, it was pretty alarming, but you don't see like those numbers kind of given out very easily. What made you want to dive into this, and what did you find out?
I mean, I think, good question. I think it was a couple of things. First, we obviously, top of mind for so many people is, you know, what happened in Connecticut at Sandy Hook, and then, which was just obviously so horrible for so many people. And then we had the anniversary, not anniversary, but the marking of the when the Columbine shootings happened. And I was a reporter in Boston at the time, and I covered that. And I was in, you know, at the school for, I don't know, it might have been close to a week. And it just got me thinking, you know, so many times we hear about all these mass school shootings, but how are we doing in Connecticut when it comes to weapon seizure? And I had some conversations with different school superintendents around the state. A couple of them, you know, were, you know, wanted to give me some information, but they were reluctant to go on TV. But it really got me thinking about, hey, so what in the last sort of school year, what have we done in terms of, you know, how these weapons and what kinds of weapons are coming into school? So I started to dig around a little bit with the Department of Education, which I started to work on this back in January. And it took, I have to tell you, it took a lot of sort of, you know, back and forth to try and get information. Yeah. And so, and you know, you do this kind of work as well. So I won't say they were reluctant to give it, but I definitely had to, you know, go through some hoops to get it. And the bigger thing, just to talk about it for a second, was trying to get school officials to talk to me about what kinds of things are in place at your school to help protect people. If you notice in the piece, I couldn't really get anybody to talk about that because I think, you know, I wanted to show at a particular school district, look, this is what we have. We have bulletproof glass. We have these cameras. We have this locking door mechanism. We have these safety protocols in place
right.
to let parents know, hey, this is what's being done. But I couldn't get that part of the story. But when I started to get the numbers in, which I'm sure people can relate to them, but, you know, almost 455 knives, 2.5 inches or longer, seized in Connecticut schools. Like, that's an outrageous number to me when I hear that. So anyway, we were able to show that, and there's an agency called the Connecticut Center for School Safety and Crisis Preparation, who, you know, they do a lot of this work. They commissioned a study inside the school districts in Connecticut. Basically, the administrators went to the kids trying to get some information on, you know, what is it, what's behind, you know, the headline, if you will. Why are these kids bringing the guns to school? And as you mentioned, you know, part of it, they, you know, there's all different reasons that I listed in my report, but, you know, there's a definite need for, you know, mental health and more sort of school counseling of these kids, because a lot of these kids are harboring these feelings, and, you know, some of them, not all of them, obviously, are turning to, you know, bringing weapons into school. So, it's a hard, you know, thing to police, if you will, because one school superintendent said, look, I could bring, he lives in a town that I won't name because he asked me not to, but he said, look, if I ever tried to bring metal detectors into this town, they would run me out of town. I said, but those are the same people that, God forbid, something happens at your school with a mass shooting, they would be in your face in 3 seconds about how.
Why wasn't
my kid safe?
Right.
So it's a really complex sort of question, and you know, I think that the numbers we showed, just, you know, and Connecticut's not alone, right? But I think the numbers we showed really highlight, you know, this issue that school administrators face on how to deal with this stuff. The question was, you know, how do you make the school safe but not make it like a prison and where it's completely locked down? And that's the thing that these folks who run these schools all over Connecticut face. That's the question, right?
Yeah.
How do you make it, you know, how do you make it so the kids don't feel scared or feel like they're in a penitentiary, but by the same time, making sure that, you know, somebody doesn't come in and do something horrible.
We have Jeff Dedarian here, investigative reporter with News 8, and he did a really compelling report last week doing a deep dive into seized weapons. There was a line in there, Jeff, forgive me, I can't quote things as well as I would like to, but you said something in there where it doesn't really dawn upon us how common this is for schools to find weapons in kids' backpacks. That line, it was near the beginning of your package that it really, like, that got to me, because we think so much about what teachers and what schools have been going through just since the pandemic, and certainly since Sandy Hook here in Connecticut. We're very oversensitive to what teachers are feeling going into school every day. But you don't think about, you know, seized weapons. You hear about it here and there in the news, but when you look at the numbers you reported on, it seems like it happens more frequently than we expected.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you break down the you know, the knives, it comes down to, if you look at it on average, right, 454 knives, that's an average of 6 knives per week seized in Connecticut schools when you break it down.
That's
so
wild.
The numbers are, you know, alarming, and I don't like to throw around those words, those buzzwords, but it is. It's just, you know, 55 handguns, as you mentioned, 54 stun guns. So these weapons are getting inside the schools. And the other thing I want to point out, Melissa, is that that's what was reported. So we don't really know what the true numbers are.
Exactly.
Because there are kids that are bringing stuff into school, and it's not getting caught. It's getting by. Okay, there's a kid probably walking into school this morning somewhere in Connecticut that will have a weapon on him, and he doesn't get caught. So the numbers are actually, when people think about it, when your listeners think about it, it's actually higher, right? Because we don't know the true numbers. And so that's what these men and women struggle with, these principals and administrators that run these schools, about how do you try and track this stuff down. So they obviously try and keep their ears and eyes open. They have school resource officers that try and hear things. But one of the biggest things that I was told was that if parents can get involved more and look inside your child's backpack, mm-hmm. or whatever bag, athletic bag, gym bag, football bag, hockey bag, whatever it is, just look inside of it and make sure that they're not bringing anything into school like that. And so, you know, it's one thing that really struck me, and I didn't report it, but I'm going to say it here, is that one school superintendent said, look, we're doing the best that we can, but it's never going to be 100% safe. He said, because you know why? We have milk delivered every day to the school in the back of the school. So if somebody wants to get in here with a gun and do something, all they have to do is put it in the milk delivery, and it's coming into the school. So when you hear that, if you're a parent or a grandparent or whatever, even if you don't have kids, I mean, so it's just this whole paradigm of the balance, right? And there is no, like, one answer for everything. It's a combination of things. But I think the, you know, just parents, and I don't mean to preach here at all, but if parents can just be a little bit more, you know, as much as you can, be active and be engaged with your kids and their lives, and and be nosy. Like I was nosy. My kids are older now, but I was nosy. I looked in their backpacks. I looked in their room. So, you know, and that's a whole separate discussion. But the administrators say, look, you know, we can't do it all, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to defend them, but they just said, look, we can't. You know, there would literally need to be barbed wire around the whole school,
right?
And, you know, in order to make it safe. So it's a really, you know, dynamic question that these school administrators face on how to deal with this. You know, there's no one answer.
Exactly. And it's interesting what you said, Jeff, and I agree. You know, as a parent myself, I know it's, you know, the number one thing that I feel like parents never want is criticism towards how they're parenting kids, and nobody's saying that. But I do think sometimes we have this sort of false narrative in our head that it's not going to be us. And especially here in Connecticut, I find that people really do believe, because we went through still one of the worst tragedies in any school history, we believe it's never going to happen again. Like, that is a true, and I remember, and I've told my listeners this before, that about a year ago, my son, who is now six, he, you know, he was in this ninja class, and one of the parents who was in a different school district than ours said, oh, I love the fact that they leave the side door unlocked and they leave it cracked open during the day, because that way I could just get in really quickly, I could check on my kid, and I can leave. This was a preschool. I thought, why are they doing that? And she said, oh, it's just an area that nobody really goes into. I said, have you reported that? She said, well, no, I just told you it was very convenient for me to check on my kid. I said, right, but if my kid is in the same school as yours, I could tell you right now, I'm reporting that. And the looks on those parents' faces was just like, really? Why are you going to inconvenience, or why are you freaking out about it? And then I think about the other side of it, which is exactly what you said. The second that what you don't ever want to happen, when it does happen, the school is the first one to go down. The school and the police, they're the first ones to go down as, correct, how could you have missed this? But it is partially our responsibility to make sure that if we see something, we're saying, hey, I'm not comfortable with that. Is there at least a camera out there, or is there somebody immediately outside that door? You know, like, I do think it's a little bit of give and take. It can't just all fall on other entities. You're the parents, so check the backpacks.
Yeah.
And if you see something, say something.
Exactly. And just one other thing that's actually great that you brought up that point, because it just made me think of something else that we reported last week, is that a couple things quick, and I know probably we're short on time, but if parents can remember to tell their kids to keep their phones on silent when they're in school, because God forbid if there ever was something going on in the school, parents now today, and I did a whole separate story on kids and phones and addictions and all that, that's another issue, but the kids now have these phones with them 24/7, right? And so if there's ever something going on in a school and parents and friends are texting one another, then they really push these kids to keep their phones on silent, because if something's happening and they're getting texts and the phones are going off and buzzing and all this, and then one of these crazed, you know, shooters is inside of a school, then they're going to hear that, and they're going to hear the phone going off. That's point number one. Point number two is that what I reported is that 80% of all school shooters warned that they were going to do what they did.
Yes.
So the whole cliche thing, if you see something, say something, that's the other thing that people need to remember, that kids should go to their guidance counselor, they should go to their principal, they should go to their police, go to your gym teacher, go to whoever. But if you even hear anything, parents too, right? Anything, and to your point about the door being open, that, you know, people need to say something, because you never know what something can lead to. But that's an astonishing stat, that 80% of all these you know, people that do these school shootings warned and talked about it before they did it. So it's just an amazing, unfortunately, you know, horrible stat. But I just think, you know, parents can just be more involved and just pay attention for things. That's one of the big things I took away from reporting on this.
Well, I thought it was an excellent report. And as I mentioned, if people missed it, we are going to link that to this podcast when we put it on WICC600.com. And Jeff, thank you for the work that you do. I really enjoy your reporting, and I hope you'll come back on the show again really soon.
Oh, absolutely. And just one thing, a lot of stories I get, Melissa, come from people, listeners, viewers, etc. So if people are, you know, listening this morning and they have a story idea, confidential tip, they can send it to me at investigate@wtnh.com. I can't tell you how many things, great stories that I don't find that other people tell me about. So if people are listening and they think they have a story, they want to start their own investigation, just, you know, send me an email, confidential. And, you know, it's very helpful. So I just wanted to mention that if I could.
Yeah, that's real journalism. That's what it is you're working for the people.
Yep.
And Jeff, that's why I appreciate
Absolutely.
The work that you do. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll talk again really soon.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks, Melissa. Have a good day.
You too. Jeff Dedarian, again, investigative reporter for WTNH News 8 on WICC.